Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is good to be back one more time. If you're just blessed today, thanking the Lord for his extreme mercies and kindness in your life, can you just give him some praise? Maybe some hand claps, some emoticons in the chat, some hallelujahs. Wiggle those two toes just to thank the Lord for all that he is doing for all of us. I'm so glad that God has allowed us to have this virtual connection that we can learn together as we get back into the fulfillment of our calling today, that topic that we've been dealing with. If you look at my background, you ever felt like you were in a situation where you just didn't know which direction to go? Well, we're going to talk about the calls on our lives and to know where we're going as we listen to the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for being living epistles. God has called us to be examples within this season and time. So much is going on in the world. And we just thank you so much for standing up and being the Christians that God has called you to do. Also, those that have been reading along with us through our Bible plan, we're quickly coming to the end of this year, getting ready to go into 2024, where we're going to start a new plan, a chronological plan. And so I encourage you to continue to read in the Word that we can be edified in Jesus. Also, I want you to continue to pray for everything that's going on at ebcnc.com. A lot of things. Just want to give you an announcement. Next Sunday, we're going to have some guest speakers. That's on December 24 in our 8:45 in-person service. We're going to have Dr. Laverne Collins. She has always blessed us, a part of Ebenezer. And Jess is going to speak a powerful word into our lives. Then our 10 o'clock online, we're going to have Dr. John Wayne Howard. He'll be speaking into our lives, encouraging us on that day. And then our 10:45 in-person service, we're going to have Dr. Anthony Berry, always a blessing to Ebenezer when he is able to come and speak into our lives also. I want you just to stay in prayer. I am ready to get in today's word, and I want you to be ready. So let's go in a time that we can just worship the Lord, seek his face as he prepares our hearts to grow more in him. We'll see you soon.
Good morning, church. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version of the Holy Scriptures. Scripture I'm going to read, it's from Isaiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. When you come to appear before me, who has required you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocations, I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Down through verse 20.
Come, let us adore him.
Emmanuel. 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 is forever faithful. He protects day by day. He is forever faithful. He really makes a way. He is forever faithful, an everlasting friend. He is forever faithful. In him you can depend. Jesus has the power to erase all our sins. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He wants to give you blessings. He can make you whole again. Jesus is the answer. In him you can depend. He is forever faithful. He protects you day by day. He is forever faithful. He really makes a way. He is forever faithful, an everlasting friend. He is forever faithful. In him you can depend. Now Jesus is the answer. In him you can depend. He can make things better. He can make you smile. He can heal your body right now, not after a while. Oh, he can comfort you, and he can help you understand. He's a true miracle worker. In him you can depend. Oh, he's forever faithful. He protects you day by day. Oh, he's forever faithful. He can really make a way. Oh, he's forever faithful. He's an everlasting friend. Oh, he's forever faithful. In him, you can depend.
It is so good to know that God is forever faithful. Just a little story. Dee Mebbin, she came in the other Sunday and she was on my heart. I had sent her a text a little earlier if she could actually deliver a poem. And she didn't get the text, but she came in prepared. And she said as she was reading that poem, the Lord just struck her heart. And she said she could feel it. She felt it was for someone that was in the audience. And I extend that, someone who is listening today, to know that the Lord is forever faithful. That's what it's all about, allowing God to use us at various times. I would say all the times of our lives, that we can really submit to his will and way, that we can change lives. Well, as we get into the subject matter today, I am just so blessed to know Jesus. Anybody blessed out there, can you put in the chat, just say blessed, blessed, blessed. We are so blessed to know Jesus. Before we go any further, I just ask you to please go on a word of prayer with me. Father, I thank you that you are forever faithful, that you truly never leave us nor forsake us. Now, as we approach this word, Lord, this time of teaching, this time of proclamation, Holy Spirit, we need you. If there's someone that's listening, viewing, that doesn't know you, I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead, and you said they would be saved. Thank you for that wonderful gift, Lord, that changes lives. Now, Holy Spirit, would you teach us, guide us, lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? We just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you put in the chat, amen, wherever you're sitting, standing, just say amen. As we get back into our topic, fulfilling our calling, that God is working through us. That is a wonderful, wonderful reality. Let's get back to our memory scripture. We've been reading this aloud every Sunday to get in our mind, to seep into our hearts, that 1 Corinthians 6:19. If you don't mind reading with me, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Isn't that good to know? We are not our own. Well, we actually have been deep into the New Testament. We've gone through 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And today, as we're still in this topic of fulfilling our calling, let's go to a book, a powerful book. It's Jude, the book of Jude. One chapter, and we're going to focus in on that 21st verse, Jude 21. It reads, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Listen to that again, Jude 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I want to speak from a topic today, staying in the will of God. Staying in the will of God. And that's that sign that we have. Just, I want to make sure that I'm in the will of God. And I want you to make sure that you're in the will of God. But so many times it seems like we come to crossroads and we're like, okay, Lord, which way do I go? Today, we're really going to kind of step into this and ask God to speak to our hearts. The time frame of this particular book, 66 to 80. The book being written is so profound because there's false teachers that have come into the church. And so the book is written to say, watch out for these false teachings, watch out for this false doctrine. But at the end of the book, which we're going to deal with, it really encourages the saints in their calling. It encourages all of us to really embrace the truth of who Christ is. As we jump into Jude 20, you'll notice it starts off with that but. So we've dealt with those false teachers. We've dealt with all the mess that they have brought into the church, that congregation of that time. And now he writes, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Here's our first point, working on our building. Working on our building. Now Jude, like James, was the half brother of the Lord Jesus, and so we learn this. This helps us to identify with the scriptures that we're dealing with. He was close, intimate with the Christ. He was right there in the midst of the saints and saw how Jesus did miracles, signs, and wonders, and also seeing the ascension. And now that Jesus is on the right hand, in context of this particular scripture, man, they are focused. They're like, man, we have to walk in our calling that we can get this news to everyone that's around us. But the enemy is stepping up his attack. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants to keep, even now in our generation, he wants to keep the saints from actually fulfilling that which God has for them. There is so much adversity as we grow to the Lord. There are so many distractions that come our way. But I want to encourage you that we can stay in God's will. Isaiah 59:19 gives an encouraging word. When it comes to staying in the will of God, it says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. I love this part. When the enemy comes in like a flood, any witnesses out there, he'll come at us. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. Can you scream out standard? That means that God says, no, you can't go any further than this. And so we've got to understand, even though when it feels like we're sinking, even though when it feels like we're down for the last count, God is like, I got this. Anybody happy about staying in the will of God, that the Lord embraces us, loves us? This Jude 20 again, but you, somebody say, but, can you scream out, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, as we build ourselves up, we're going to explain that that latter part, praying in the Holy Spirit. But building ourselves up, it reading the Word of God, that helps to build us up. Staying in prayer, that helps to build us up. Even fasting helps to build us up. Worship helps to build us up. Praising God helps to build us up. We could continue on, but these are building blocks into our spiritual growth. Theologian McDonald gives insight on the Greek rendering of this part of praying in the Holy Spirit. He said, this means to pray as guided by the Spirit in accordance with the will of God as revealed in the Bible or as privately revealed by the Spirit in a subjective way to the believer. It is in contrast to prayers which are recited mechanically or spun off without any real spiritual involvement. We've all been there. You know, we can pray out of habit. I know sometimes life can get so busy and we kind of just throw up a prayer and our heart is not in it. But saints, I encourage you to lean into the Lord, to the side. God, I want to hear from you. And I don't want this just to be a mechanical recitation, but I want this to be fervent as we embrace God's calling in our lives and we want to stay in the will of the Lord. We desire to truly be real in everything that we do. Remember the book of James, chapter 5, around that 16th verse, it really gives us an example of what it means to really be spiritually energized when it comes to the will of God in our lives. It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Here it is, the effect of fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We need the saints to step into their calling. We need intercessors. We need people to pray fervently. James 5:17 says there's an example. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And look what happened. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its staying in the will of God. When we are in the will of God and the calling of God is being produced in our lives, we can do amazing things. We can do impossible things because it says in God, all things are possible. We must continually work on our building and walk wholly in the will of God. Paul encourages us in 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. I'm talking about staying in the will of God. 2 Corinthians 4:10, always caring about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. That's the will of God. That's the calling that's on our lives, staying in the will of God. Look at Jude 21. He writes, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Here's another point. Keep yourself. Yes. Keep yourself. I like this imperative because it gives us something that we must do. All right. This is not something that's vicariously is just going to happen by laying on a pillow. It means that we put some actions. James says faith without works is dead. And so if we're desiring to stay in the will of God and to be fulfilled in the calling that he has on our life, there's some things that we need to do. Let's break this down. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That keep in the Greek, it's actually tereo. And it means to guard or reserve. And it's object is yourselves. That means it's almost a war that's going on, and we have to guard, we have to reserve ourselves. The meaning here seems to be keep yourselves from being dragged off into a life that is different from what God wants for you. Somebody needs to hear that again. Keep yourselves from being dragged off into a life that is different from what God wants for you. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to come and attack us, and he wants to pull us. He wants to drag us off course that will be out of the will of God. But I am telling you, are there any saints out there say, Lord, use me for your glory, that we want to stay right directly in what God has for us. God put this on my heart, and as I was reading it, came together to understand it more. It says the sun is always shining, but when something comes between us and the sun, we are no longer in the sunshine. Makes sense? Someone wrote that down and I started thinking about it. So it is with spiritual things of God. Sun is always shining, but we can be in the shadows when something comes between that. That's why our callings are so important, to stay in the will of God. It keeps us centered on the purpose of our lives. Can you just say purpose? Can you put in the chat, say purpose? God has a purpose for our lives. Charles A. Tinley, an African-American Methodist minister and gospel music writer in the 1900s, he writes this. He says, nothing between my soul soul and the Savior, not of this world's delusive dream, nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Isn't that good to know that we are in the center of God's will? John the Apostle writes in 1 John 5:18, listen to this. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. I know there's a lot in that, but he who has been born of God, here it is, keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. There are things that we need to do as we're staying in the will of God that keep, we're reserved. We're going to keep the enemy from dragging us, because we know if we stay in the center of God's will, he has us. Remember Joseph and all the things he went through. Man, he is sold into slavery. His brothers have betrayed him. God takes him through prison, all kinds of hardships, till finally he's raised up literally a second in command of all Egypt. His brothers show up, and he has the ability to produce all kinds of heartache on them, but he realizes God is up to something. His dad, Jacob, has passed away, and he is the sole provider for the family. Genesis 50:18, his brothers are afraid. They don't know what to do. Notice what happens. We're talking about staying, and when you're in the will of God, God can use you. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we are your servant." Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God?" That's what you got to realize. When you're in the will of God, it's really bigger than you. It's what God is using you. There ought to be some saints say, "Thank you, Lord, for using me." Look at Genesis 50:20. "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive." When you are in the will of God and you grasp the calling that's on your life, you understand the purpose. You can say things like this: "Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. That's what staying in the will of God is all about, that we can embrace God's will and say, "God, not my will," remember that, "but let your will be done." We must keep ourselves centered right where God wants us to be. I don't want us to forget this Jude 20. Look at this Jude 21. "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy." Can you say mercy? Can you put in the chat "mercy" of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life? We desire to walk in the Lord more and more, because Ephesians 2:4 brings this out. "But God, who is rich," here it is, "mercy." Can you scream it out again? "Mercy, because of his great love." Can you say "great love"? "With which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Isn't that good? When we get in the will of God, we start to understanding the levels in what God is doing in us and why he's left us here in this world to share his good news. Ephesians 2:7, "that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, and through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift." Somebody say gift. That is a gift to be used of the Lord, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But I love this Ephesians 2:10, "for we are his workmanship." Yes, to know that the Lord has formed us. We taught in our previous lessons that he knew us from the foundation of the earth, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should, here it is, walk in them. Yes, staying in the will of God really means that we hear his voice and he is our leader. And every day we get up and say, "God, thank you for using me. Thank you for being my Father. Thank you for being my Lord. Which way do you want me to go?" Look at Jude 22, staying in the will of God. "And on some," Jude writes, "having compassion, making a distinction. But others say, with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." Here's the point. Pull them out. Yes, pull them out. a part of our calling is really rescuing others that are around. I must tell you, I love when snow comes. I do. I've been blessed. Many years ago, got me a four-wheel drive. And one of the reasons I convinced my wife that I want a four-wheel drive, that when the snow came, not like it snows every day, but I wanted to help somebody. I wanted to just pull them out. Well, I got an opportunity. My neighbor couldn't get up the hill and they kept sliding back. And I took my four-wheel drive. I was excited that day. I'd brought me one of those towing belts and I put it on his car. Man, I put it in a four-wheel drive and I began to pull him up the hill. Man, I pulled him out. He was excited. He was blessed by it. But it's the same way as we're in the will of God. God kind of puts us in spiritual four-wheel drive that we can assist those who are going through. Look at this. To walk in our calling again is to help others. 1 John 5:16 says, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him, here it is, life for those who commit sin not leading to death. We want to pull them out. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. God is saying that he has given us authority in our callings to pray for people who are going through. Who are you praying for? Are you praying for some grandkids or some cousins, some uncles, maybe a wife or a husband? I want you to know God hears your prayers and he is blessed that you are praying and he is coming alongside of you with the power of the Holy Spirit to change that situation in somebody's life. I'm telling you, you got to pull them out. Look at Jude 23 again. But others, saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by flesh. I love this. The picture that comes to my mind is firemen and fire ladies and fire people that actually run into the fire to rescue people. I am blessed by them because they're using the gift of courage that God has given them to do those things. And God is saying there's sometimes we're going to have to run in the fire, but he is protecting us. He is covering us. The fire that he's talking about in context were these false teachers that were coming in and they were producing all kinds of crazy doctrines. He's like, I need some saints that know the Lord, that love the Lord, that are in the will of God to go in and pull those people out that are getting caught up with this craziness. Do you see it in our society? So many people are getting caught up. But when we get in the will of God, we can speak truth to the situation. And you know what? Truth always stands. Let's not overlook Jude 23. But others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by flesh. We've got to know as we're walking in the will of God, we want to stay close to him. The enemy will try to tempt us. He'll try to get us this way or that way. But we got to say, Lord, I want to be used on a daily. I want you to really transform my life to be more like you. J.B. Mayer, a Greek scholar, he warns of this. And while it is the duty of the Christian to pity and pray for the sinner, he must view with loathing all the bears traces of sin. We don't want to get caught up in sin. Yes, as we're pulling someone else out, as we're in the will of God, we always want to make sure that we're staying close to the Lord, and we can't do it by ourselves. It's all about the will of the Lord. Staying in that will of God means we walk in our callings and we continually stay washed. Can you just scream out washed? Can you put in the chat washed? Ephesians 5:26 talks about this. Listen to this, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the, here it is, the washing of water by the word. That's why we encouraged you earlier that if we want to grow in our calling, staying in the will of God, we got to stay in the Word of God, because the Word of God actually produces a cleansing process in us. Ephesians 5:27, that he might present to her himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. That context of the scripture lets us know how the relationship of husband and wives show how God loves us. And I am so glad that it actually talks about that Christ is married to the church. And so as we're walking close to him, that relationship grows. Let me show you in Jude 24, talking about staying in the will of God. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Aren't you glad to be connected with Jesus? Here's the point. He's a keeper. Yes, he's a keeper. There ought to be some shouts of praise. And I am so glad that he is my keeper. Can you put in the chat, say, keeper, keeper? Can you scream out, he is a keeper? I am telling you, Jude, now he's actually ending this book in a grand benediction. Yes, yes, he is taking it up to another level, because when we submit to God's will and we begin to walk in our calling, it's something to celebrate, because we want to cross that finish line and hear Jesus say, well done. Can you put in the chat, well done? Can you say, well done, wherever you are? Jude 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. God is ordering your steps. He's able to keep you from falling. There ought to be some saints to say hallelujah and to present you faultless. That's worth shouting about, running around the living room a bit, because only God can do that before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I'm telling you, when you think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he is doing for you, some kind of joy should exude from your pores, because he's been a good God. This thought is also seen in Romans 16:25, saying, in the will of God, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, from obedience to faith, that 27th verse, to God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Staying in the will of God. The book of Ephesians really emphasizes it like this. In Ephesians 3:20, it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. He's a keeper. And the any saints said, I'm glad he is keeping me as we stay in the will of God. Let's sum this up in Jude 25. To God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Final point. All to Jesus. Yes, all to Jesus. We have to give everything we have to the Lord. Yes, he wants all of us. So many times we keep it on reserve. I don't know, some of you are in exercise programs, and if you do HIIT trainings, high intensity trainings, oftentimes they'll try to get your heart rate up, and then they'll give you a resting time, and then they'll go all the way to the end of the workout, and they'll say, you know what, whatever you had in the tank, we want you to empty the tank. We want you to give it all. And I want to encourage you, this is the time that we got to give it all. As I see wars with Russia and Ukraine, and I see what's going on in Israel and on the Gaza Strip and Hamas, when I look at the tension that's in Africa and other nations, and the world itself seems to be going through kind of change and transition, it's time to empty our tank. It's time to say, Lord, I am ready to run for you. I am ready to run in the calling that you put on my life. Romans 12:1, we quote this a lot. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, look at this, your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. I love this part, which is your reasonable service. What God is saying, using Paul the apostle here, he's like, that's the baseline to give everything to him, to stay in the will of God. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what it's all about, staying in the will of God. I'm so glad that we have the ultimate example. You know his name. Can you scream out Jesus? Can you put it in the chat? Jesus. Hey, he says in John 10:26, as he was walking right where the Father had him to be, he said, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It is so good, as we're in the will of God, we're hearing God's voice, and we are his sheep, and we follow him, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. That's good news. I love that. John 10:30, talking about staying in the will of God. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. If only we could walk close closer and closer to God's will to be used in a season such as this. That yes, that same Jesus didn't stop there, but he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke 22:41. We're talking about staying in the will of God. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I'm talking about staying in the will of God. Sometimes as you're in the will of God, you're going to have to go through. Sometimes there's going to be some tears to fall down your face. But I want to encourage you, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. But I'm so glad that the Christ didn't stop right there. Oh, he is ridiculed and talked about, but he goes to the cross of Calvary carrying our griefs and our pains. Nails are in his hands and nails in his feet. Oh, he cries out, "It's finished," on that cross of Calvary, drops his head and the locks of his shoulders. But there's something about the will of God. When the world thinks you're down for the last count, God is able to show up and show out. Yes, Jesus died on that cross. They put him in a cold grave, but you know the end of the story. 3 days he gets up with all power and glory, right where the Father would have him. Now he's seated on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us so that we can walk in his will. Saints, what's our choice going to be? God desires to use us to the utmost. Yes, you. God wants to use you 100% plus, if I can say that. He wants all of you to impact people that are around. Yes, in Jude's time, the church was going through, but Jude said, "It's going to be all right." God, he is our everything. And as we go forth, I want you to submit more and more to his will. It's going to take getting up early sometimes. It's going to take reading his word all the time. It's going to take praying without ceasing. It's going to take worship where you bow down before him. It's going to take times of praise where you just get overwhelmed with the goodness of the Lord. It's going to take all that and more. But God says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Saints, let's submit to the will of God. The first step, if you've been listening to this and you're like, "You know, I feel like there's something missing," that first step is getting to know who Jesus is, that relationship. Remember that scripture in Ephesians we talked about? It was a symbol of our marriage, shows who Christ is and how he's married to the church. It's that same thing, washing by the word. If you don't know who Christ is, man, that you can't even really be in the will of God. But when you come to know him, now he comes to dwell in you. And guess what? He gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit that orders our steps, that speaks to us, that still small voice. Yes. And he lets us know the walk of peace in Jesus Christ. That's really submitting to the will of God. To the saints, I encourage you. Remember, we looked at that Greek word and we talked about that keep. The enemy is trying to drag us off the path. But guess what? We're going to stay close to Jesus and we're going to thank him that he is the one that is putting us, keeping us in focus, that he can use us today. We're not talking about tomorrow. We want the Lord to use us today and then on a daily basis. If you want that, I ask you just to pray with me that we can be used to really make an impact in this world. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this word, Lord. So many things in there. Thank you for using these scriptures today to encourage someone to really submit to your will, Lord. Thank you for being a forgiver of our sins. Lord, you are still in the saving business. And if there's someone that's listening now or viewing and doesn't know you, I pray that you touch their heart, that you transform them from the inside out. For the saints, Lord, we pray together. God, we want to be better. We want to hear you say, "Well done, my good and faithful servants." Holy Spirit, forgive us for the time that we've grieved you, that we found ourselves not on the right path. Lord, today we recommit ourselves to you. Thank you, God, for your will for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hark the herald angels sing, Jesus, the light of the world. Glory to the newborn King, Jesus, the light of the world. Shine bright, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Joyful all ye nations rise. Jesus, the light of the world. Join the triumph of the sky. The light of the world. We will walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. The light of the world.